I'm going to talk to you like a mama. Because, and I want to tell you, Roseanne and Ramon, that the song you sang where you explained the lyrics was another confirmation that that was the right thing to do, my sermon. Because I often ask, Lord, is it really you? Did you really give me these words? But it's a song that our daughter sings a lot. And she's the one whom I've learned these lessons from. And she agreed that I could use her as an illustration. And so it was a confirmation. So thank you. So lessons from an expectant mother. Over the summer, over the 4 months that Pastor Barry has been on sabbatical, we have really had excellent teaching. And I want to thank each and every person who has brought the Word of God. We've had theology. We've had practical lessons. Everyone has brought excellence to this pulpit. And I just want to say thank you. We have been fed well. We are well-fed people. So thank you. As we look towards the fall, you know, we live in today, but sometimes, most of the time, we have to plan for tomorrow. So on church council and pastorally, we have looked into the fall. And there will be a greater emphasis on bringing belonging to the community of that where we live, and that's Calgary. So this little sermon, this talk to you from a mama's heart, will hit that. We want to bring benefit to our communities, and that goes hand in hand with evangelism or discipling. We know that. We give practical helps like the Cornerstone cupboard, the corner store downstairs, so it goes hand in hand. Chris and I have had the unique privilege of observing our youngest daughter on her journey of expectant motherhood. And I believe watching her has given me key insights into this process that we can apply to our journey of leading people to Christ. I was trying to think back on my three pregnancies, and because I was just so involved, I wasn't observing. This was very unique because I saw some things that as I was going through it, I didn't see. So I think sometimes it's worthwhile to be an observer because then you can share what you observe and go back to what you've experienced. You know, leading people to the new birth experience, there is a comparative dynamic between physical and spiritual birth, and it's seen in the progressive phases of birth and rebirth. We understand, I want to make this very clear, that being born again is a spiritual one. However, our calling to spiritual parenthood requires effort on our part. God invites us into the process. Go and make disciples. Let's call it our human productivity that is inspired and Holy Spirit-led. So our first insight, and I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. We met here on Wednesday for prayer, and Brother Rufus shared the first point in a slightly different way, but there was such a longing in his heart because he said, "We are eating alone." Parenting, discipling is a holy calling, and we are called to make disciples, to make our Lord known. Brother Rufus said, Sunday after Sunday, we come and we enjoy each other's company. We do. We love getting together. We love the Lord, but we're feasting like we have. We're feasting alone. So I suggest to you what I've observed, that we need to birth a love in our heart for pre-Christians, an agape love. We watched our daughter longing for a child. Just from a thought, it would be nice someday to have a child, to an almost unbearable longing that was all-consuming for her. Not having a child was unthinkable. And I know we talk about discipling, we talk about bringing others to Christ, but sometimes it's just an ideology. Yes, this is what we must do because Jesus asked us to do it. But I would say that it's not just a duty to fulfill this command of our Lord, but it should be a passion to see others birthed into the eternal life with Christ, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. So we watched our daughter, this longing, grow into such a deep love for her unborn child that was evident in all her talk, all her actions. She had to have tests for potential health concerns, and even that left her with absolute conviction, I don't care, no matter what, this baby is going to be born. I don't care what the doctors say about faults or not, if they will show up. We long for this child. And this child would be welcome. So the love for this little one, yet unseen, then in utero grew. And we saw her heart grow several sizes larger. Like, that's from Dr. Seuss. His heart, the Grinch, his heart grew several sizes larger. But I would say to us, we need that kind of love birthed in our hearts for those who don't yet know the Lord. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We can't think it, but we can ask the Lord to pour love in our hearts for the person or persons that are already in our circle. I really believe that all of us will have people in our circle that do not know the Lord. And we need to ask for discernment. Once the Lord gives us that person, that God would give us discernment into how to pray for them, how to have encounters that we could meet them more and more. Because I believe God has connected you. Something like that unseen baby in a womb, you are connected by the purposes of God. He has chosen you and me to bring that person to Jesus, to that new birth experience. Even a mother can't birth the baby by herself. There are unseen forces at work. It is a miracle. And so that part belongs to the Lord. But the bringing, the carrying, God, I believe, has us come alongside for those. So that is my point, that we would that we would just pray for a longing and a love for those people that God has connected us with. Secondly, would you just excuse my chewing gum? I didn't have peppermints and the allergies are bugging me, so I apologize. It's rude. Would you forgive me for that? Nutrition. We have watched our daughter take better care of her own body than ever before. She's always been careful. She's an athlete. She does amazing iron runs and all of that, but she has never been so careful of what she puts in her body. It's been elevated, this care, to a much higher level. Because why? Because she understands it's not all about her. There's new life growing inside of her. John Piper writes this in Job 31. He said, he quotes, Did not he who made me in the womb make him? What is happening in the womb is God's work. God is at work in the life of the person he's brought into your life. It's a holy work. It may be unseen, but it is happening. And you have to nourish yourself so you can nourish that person. I am so thankful for Brian for leading us in the Bible study. And if those of you who are attending and the Life Together groups, you're getting good food there. Because like a pregnancy, if you do not nourish your body well, you're not going to have a strong baby. You'll have a small and weak and sickly baby. So we need to really nourish ourselves. And there are a couple of young women in my life, they have different needs. I'm doing my best to come alongside and mentor them. But you know what? I didn't know about some of the struggles that they were having because I haven't experienced them. So I need to go back into the Word of God and make sure I nourish myself to know how to answer them, and then that I can pass that on to them. Not well-worn cliches, but real help from the Word of God. So I would say, when you see that person, what is their perspective? Where is the Word of God is the answer for that issue? Tiffany found out she was very iron deficient, and so she had to store up her iron stores. We can't say or presume to say we know the answer to everything. We don't. But so where are we deficient? It's not something to beat yourself up about. It's just saying, oh, okay, I need help in that area. So where do you need to, I pointed at Chris, didn't mean you. Where do we need to shore up our own stores of knowledge so that we can effectively nourish another soul? How do we do that? 2 Peter 1, 5-8 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." It's building. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, then they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." When this unseen work happens between that relationship that you have with that person and then the spiritual realm where God is working on their behalf, shore up your knowledge of God's Word. You know, there are people with addictions. There are people who are going through deep grief. There are so many different ways that, and if God puts a person in your path that He's connecting you with, learn about that. Study in God's Word about that. Thirdly, prepare a place. All expectant parents prepare a place, a nursery that is fully equipped. Some of the stocking is done with the help of others. Baby showers, life in community with others. And Monica and Ed shared on one aspect of here, a little part of that here in Cornerstone Church. How can we do that? Does the person have a place in our life and the place of our church? You know, we saw our daughter making room in a room that was used for another purpose. Sometimes we have to clear out an area in our home and think, we better make room. We have to make room in our life for other people. These babies need to come someplace. These children have to come someplace. And we have to make room in our life. This happens in life together groups. It's a place where in safety you learn and grow together, Bible studies, Sunday morning, youth and young adults. The place has to be a place of love and security, like those safety outlet covers that we put to maintain and keep our children safe. And what do those look like for us? Well, I would say keeping confidentiality, empathy, compassion, respect. In a nursery, you'll find a growth chart, and you see the little ones who are standing up and trying to be bigger than they are. Pastor Rick Warren says, as you grow to spiritual maturity, you will have to cooperate with God in the process. We see others maturing, we have to cooperate with God's process. One way to do that is to believe, first of all, that God is working. Even when you don't feel like, even when you think you don't see it. Spiritual growth can be tedious work, one small step at a time. Expect gradual improvement. The Bible says everything on earth has its own time and its own season. We need to have excellence in these nurseries, in these places, in our homes and hearts and lives. Second Timothy, you read, do your best to know that God is pleased with you. Be as a workman who has nothing to be ashamed of. Teach the words of truth in the right way, for every person is different. There are seasons in everyone's life, in the spiritual life too. Sometimes you can get the short, intense burst of growth. It's like springtime. And you think, oh, look at all the growth that's happening. Then there's followed by a period of stabilizing and testing, fall and winter. Allow people to grow in their time, not yours. Growth is individual, no comparing. I've seen to the detriment of parents looking at growth chart and their child doesn't measure up. And then they get so worried because, oh no, this is my child maybe isn't normal because they're not measuring up. And then the doctor, a wise doctor, will say, oh, that's just average. Don't worry, your child is growing well. Also, the place has to be full of joy and learning. And I use toys and music. Most toys provide at least one opportunity for children to learn. The best toys engage a child's senses, spark their imagination, and encourage others to interact with them. We must offer opportunities that engage others. Always take someone along. Make it joyful. Laugh. Allow for mistakes. You know, I am so thankful for you because not last month when Ibu led us, or this month when Ibu led us so skillfully in communion, but the time before that, I'm leading you in communion. I'm asking you to partake of the crackers and the juice. Guess what? You didn't have anything in your hands. Not one person mocked me about that or teased me about it or said, remember, you better do better. And I'm so thankful for that because this is a place, a safe place where we can grow and make mistakes. I feel safe here with you as my church family. And I'm just going to encourage you, continue to be wonderful like you. Love covers. It's patient and kind, like that safe rug in a nursery or the training wheels on a bike. And allow and celebrate small steps. You know how you just celebrate when a child takes a little step? Be like that with the people in your life. Celebrate every little step. Do not despise small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So we get to celebrate. We get to have a culture of celebrating. The last thing, not the last thing, but the last point I want to talk about is that it's sacrifice. Expectant mothers gain an understanding very quickly that there is a personal cost to carrying another human being for 9 months. There's pain, there's weariness, and they might be a constant companion for a season within the season. Not all 9 months can look like that, but sometimes there's little seasons within that season that bring extra pain and weariness. And on your journey with another person, you might find yourself thinking, I just can't take one more step with this person. I'm unable to extend grace and kindness and patience even to my family, let alone another person, and get through another day. There is a remedy. Practical and spiritual. Sometimes you just need sleep. I know Pastor Barry talked to us about that. Sometimes you need good sleep or a good massage if you're all tensed up. But what helps us? Admit your struggles to God, and He will give you His supernatural strength. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Extend grace to yourself. Take comfort in knowing that God's strength is made perfect in your weakness. God doesn't abandon His work. It is His work. It's a holy work. He will carry us through our pain, our weariness, and our frustration. Sheep do sheep things. Children do children things. Have you ever thought, why they didn't even follow my advice? Well, we probably don't follow God's advice very well. a lot of the time. That's why we start and finish anything with the love and strength of God. And we remember that this is a supernatural and holy work that God begins and completes. We are invited into the process, but the glory belongs to the Lord. I close with this amazing scripture and this thought. We are not alone. The Lord will guide us as we lead others. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young. When we have those young, God will lead us gently, step by step, as we carry others in the name of Savior. He's the great shepherd of the sheep, and he will instruct us, and he will keep us close to his heart as we keep others close to our heart and our love grows for them. We don't ever do this alone. Our great shepherd will teach us how to lead in love, and we can rejoice with him when we cooperate with his spirit and lead others into a new birth. As the worship team comes up, I would like us to ask the Lord to show us one. Let's start with one. One person that God has put into your circle of life experience. One person. And then ask the Lord to birth this amazing, deep love in your heart for that person so that you can't almost stand it not having that person come to know the Savior. And it's going to start with a birthing of God's love in our hearts. And you know what? When we ask that, we do not ask amiss. God wants this. He came so that everyone would be saved. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you love us so much, that you first loved us, and that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Father God, I pray for every person that in these moments you would give us that one face, that one name of the person that you want us to carry alongside until they say yes to being born again, being born of the Spirit. Father God, we need your help in this. We love so imperfectly, but the Holy Spirit in us will give us the power and the strength to love perfectly, to have this agape love. Help us not to carry the cost of sacrifice, to give it to you. Help us to nourish ourselves so that we would be able to grow in the Holy Spirit, strong children, that we would have healthy bones and healthy love, blood running through our veins. Father God, I pray that we would do our very, very best to make this place a safe place and a place for growth and expectancy, Lord God, that we would do everything within our power to make room for new nurseries, for new places in our hearts and homes in our church to receive those who you have placed in our path and in our hearts and in our life. Father, I pray also now that you would put a joy on us as we take this journey, that the joy of the Lord would be our strength, that we would look forward to seeing many, many, many people come into your kingdom. And I thank you that you've invited us along into the process. Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.